It's kind of unusual for the Poets of Cork to be here on a Wednesday, I guess. It's the first time we've had a Wednesday night ever at Ovale. Just trying to get the balance right on the sound over here. And so it's a smaller open mic than usual. But first of all, I'd like to invite up to speak to read some work in the Welsh language, who's come over for the conference. We're very delighted to hear from her. Please welcome Dilys Jones.
It's marking 100 years of our Irish Welsh legacy. And to start from this leaflet I only put up a week ago, celebrating from Cork Camp, where this will be the poetry I'm reading now. So the legacy I have is the two experiences reflecting the Easter Rising. First, the winning entry shared for an annual Eisteddfod Bardiaid Chair. The second, a song created by primary school children and our natural children's poet. First, the sonnet. It's Lynn Ebenezer's, not mine, and I read it with his permission. This sonnet, adjudicated as winner of the chair, offered Panter Edwin Sedgwyr in May this year, the hero. The experience of Michael Collins at Frongoch Camp of 1916, reflecting on the Easter Rising, living side by side with Welsh cousins in a Welsh landscape. Anticipations of returning recharge to an Irish landscape. This entry, inspired by W. Yeats' poem, The Rose Tree, and the final lines of that poem, there's nothing but our own red blood can make a right red rose tree. Yr arwr. Un act ar lwyfan hanes fi ein llama, un wythnos ber dan garpio fan yr werdd cyn gostwm cwr y llen ar ban o'r rama, malurion chwad. Ond eris am bell gerdd, sy'n sôn am ffaliaid fynod gan lun dylfryd, ddrylliwyd a malwyd efo mantau'r sarni. A nina'n deithio'n yma'n wlad ein cymryd, ein mynydd tara lawr yw bryn y garn. Ym tarlwyd yma i bydlu ein trienni, ond dal i lysgu'n fyd na'r tanchwr pas. Ninnau o'n hyrddio'n hylch i'r pair dagenni, a'i godwn a'i lafeilwn yn ein tasg. A'w'n adre ac a'i gydiwn yn ein gynnau. Dyma'n cyfle olaf hyn mi wn. Mae'n cyffron wyrdd ar frigau pren rhesynnau, ac ni bu dwthwn fel y dwthwn hwn. That is Lynn Ebenezer's entry. So the front book camp he refers to is the trail that I have here. And do you know of North Wales with Balais? And do you know front book camp?
Yeah.
The camp site now is a children's primary school, and those children put up an exhibition of the experience of the 1800 that came to Frongoch for 6 months. After the Easter Rising, they spent from the May to the December at Frongoch. And I went to the school the other day, and the day I was there, the pupils had already left for Dublin to celebrate again, and the centenary. From Gort's school pupils were presented the history of 1800 men from the Irish Rebellion prisoner from Gort Camp. Their school built on from Gort campsite. The children's poet of Wales, Myrddin ap Dafydd, reported on the process. We proceeded to hold oral poetry and music workshops with the pupils that could relate directly to the story and express themselves, word by word, note by note, he had created this tomb which seen through the eyes of the Irish prisoners. Connemara in Meirionnydd. Connemara in Meirionnydd. The Welsh scenery had a dramatic effect on the prisoners as they came by rail in cattle trucks from English prisons in the English lowlands. The Imperial plan to transport them to the middle of nowhere and break their spirit backfired. What they saw was Celtic place names on the stations, green valleys, mountains, rivers, peat bogs and a rocky landscape. It reminded them of home, Donegal, Connemara, Kerry, rural Cork and Wicklow. The western winds brought rain and mists, even in summer, their home from home. The chorus blends the two countries of Wales and Ireland, so similar in landscape, history and heritage. Meirionnydd is the name of this part of Wales. Arrennu is the name of the mountains above the camp. The welcoming landscape gives a new strength to the rebels. This is the chorus. Connemara wrth draed yr Arrennu, drwy'r weiar bigo mae adre I ni. Weld drwy'r niwl mynydd obaith o'r newydd, rhyddid sy'n fyw, a dyma'n gwlad ni. Edrych drwy'r craciau yn cerbyd y tren, enwau gorsafoedd yn ddiarth a hen. Wynt y gorllewin fel cof yn y tir, bwrlwm yr afon a'i chan yn ein glir. Glywyd i'n bara o'r bala mae wa, a postman natyb a'r tywi sy'n yn dda. Gwreiddiau Cymraeg yma'n dwfwn ac yn gryd, geiriau'n arafu o'r hen oes y fi. Canu rhyw falud wrth gael ei fwcu, balchder y werin ar waith, dros na ddim carchar mewn iaith. And the poet has translated the chorus. We found Connemara at the foot of the Arrennu, through the barbed wire the earth sings Irish songs. Through mountain mists a new hope is rising, freedom is alive, we know the land and to whom it belongs. Looking through the cracks of the train tracks, the names of stations flee foreign and old. The western winds bring back the memories, by fast running rivers stories are told. I will be meeting more poets next week, so I'll tell them how.
Thank you, Dylan. It's great to get a blast of Welsh. It's always wonderful sound to hear in poetic form. So next could we call Mary O'Connell to the microphone.
Thanks, Paul. This is about a shaman. Normally there are male shamans, but this happens to be a female one. And Charles was talking about the danger of a bear, and it's called Totem Animal. The shaman begins by calling in guardians of the north and south, pointing the rattle east and west. Her feather stirs spiraling wisps of burning sage and sandalwood. The rise and fall of chant trancing her back to dreamtime. Drum beats calm her pulse. The darkened room deepens around a lighted candle. Summoning the spirit of the bear, her voice gains suddenly in strength. Eyes closed, she holds her breath, tracking her totem animal. He rises up above her, claws stretched overhead, pulling from her body muffled sobs until she breaks into an open-throated roar. Heaving grief subsides. Release. Relief. Daylight reappears. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary. Next could we ask Patricia Walsh.
Sorry, this is about rough on the edges. I just watched it today. It was kind of like to do, I was in the library today, and Fox City Library, and got stuck behind all these Irish history books. So it's called Insurrective. A new day setting on the promised land, navigating true importance of death undone, marking words we're planting at will, fighting the Brits on our own terms. The line seeps tonight to the sound of rubbish, bordered to a division of genuine chance, and a good fit for a publication now, and lays analysing through drops for perfect fit. Members of failure, insufficient street cred, sailing emergency, comparative mess. Some ethical questions need to be asked. Time and place need sorting out. Contemporary revolution, history and society, comes with a focus on events in hand. Being thanked for ideology is not one's own. Hitting sound like bites like stars, punctuating the sky. Frustrated politics in cities and provinces, not heeding the warnings on countless books. Some private turmoil becomes the argument for which we beat ourselves with. Some endgame ill disillusioned in history, still made of sovereignty, self-same rule, not governing enough to fulfil the purpose, nor strain, stringent enough to realise the present. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Next, could we ask Donald Gibbons to the mic?
Hello. I'm not actually going to read anything or recite anything. I'm going to ask you for some of your poems. I'm an editor of a journal run by Aberdeen University, published by Aberdeen University Press, called Causeway Caser. And we publish poems and prose written in all the languages of Ireland and Scotland. And I've heard lots of stuff that I'd love to publish. So if you'd like, please send stuff for our December issue. Our email is causeway@abdn.ac.uk, but I'll leave that email with yourself. And yeah, please send some stuff. Sorry, not any poems, so a dumb note. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donald. So, yeah, it's great to have more outlets, especially for more Irish language poetry. There aren't very many, even in this country. So that's definitely something to look out for. I'll get that email off Donald if anyone needs it. Okay, next up, could we ask Nicola Moffat to the mic, please?
I've been writing poetry, or what passes for poetry, I suppose, for many years, and only very recently reading them aloud. And a lot of my poems, and you probably feel the same way, go through serious process of editing. So sometimes when they might be the most pertinent, they're not ready. Here's one I wrote in 2003, or sort of contains bones of what I wrote in 2003, but it wasn't ready then, and I hope it is now. It's called Horizon. Here, the land is burst by ancient bumps and slopes. We are held close by its hills, and cows mark its limit. At home, the land is as flat as the accent it propagates. The horizon is a long, dusky snake. You see no cows. Joe sits in his local with his habitual pint of black, watching new horizons unfold on Sky News 24. Comparing the view he sees every day from his English tractor to the skyline of Sassana and the Yanks' claim in Kabul. And I'm going to read another one, if that's okay. And just sort of going with some of the themes that seem to be apparent tonight. This one is called Magdalena. Cold, red, omnipresence, imperious visage that looms over the lee as it rushes by your feet, drowning the sounds of daily horror your walls have encompassed. The thin white screens still echoing through your empty halls. And the blood, the raw washed fingers, the synchronized monthly effluvium, punishment for Eve's first sin. The blood, the daily catechisms that beat through thin veins under thinner cloth, the withheld wine at Sunday Mass. The blood, tearing hymens and the crumpled sneer of a baby's first wail. The blood won't wash away down the banks of the river on whose haunches you squat, far enough from temptation, not too far to be forgot. You are an empty ghost, come back to haunt every orgasm, every open mouth, every single goddamned broken washing machine. I carry your body in mine. Every red brick, every silent virgin still hanging on your walls, every chip of green paint. I carry the blood in my stained mouth. Music to spit at priests.
Thank you, Nicola. I think we just have two or maybe three more people for the open mic. So now I'd like to call on Angela Ryan, who's going to come and sing us a song.
All right.
So I said I would sing when I was asked, but it's my first time here. So I don't know the audience, so I don't know what kind of music I like. So if you don't like this, you can always shout me down.
Okay.
My young love said to me, my mother won't mind, and my father won't slight you for your lack of kind. And she stepped away from me, and if she did say, it will not be long now till our wedding day. She stepped away from me, and she moved through the fair, where hand-clapping dealers moved here and moved there, and she went away homeward with one star away. Like the swan in the evening moves over the night, she came to me, my young love came in. So softly she came, that her feet may not do, and she laid her hand on me, and this she did say, till our wedding day.
you, Angela. Thank you very much. I'm not sure if Samir, are you... Samir. Because you still used to...
One last line.
Another last line. It's twice in one night now, right? Starting a trend. Do we have... Samir.
This poem, I didn't just write it actually, it's really old, like 6 years old, and I was trying to retrieve it. Actually, as a teenager, my first like good few years of writing was rap. I had a rap group, and this is kind of when I was transitioning from rap to poetry, so it's kind of a rap poem. Gravity. I gravitate towards the mic, like when with the naked eye at night, we observe distant bright lights sustained in faultless flight. Or like when from the vault there strikes a meteor on course for Earth, till the air turns its crust to dust and melts its core to mush. Or even like when Isaac Newton's head was hit with fruit, or the ocean pulling tight producing action of the moon, like that force that means that to cleave the atmosphere and leave, 7 miles a second is the speed you must exceed. Like sending beams of light that bend about bodies they pass, surfing curves in space-time wrought by that body's mass, and like that which is responsible for building worlds and suns, from diffuse clouds of gas and dust, collected, swirled, and spun. Like that which anchors us to ground and gives unto us weight, and gives the fabric of space its curvature and shape. Think collapsed stairs so dense and massive not even light escapes. Then you know just how it is when to the mic I gravitate. Woo!
Thanks, Samir. Glad you got the last line in there. It says, hey, it's been a magic night. To end it off tonight, we've got Mo O'Connor.
Thank you very much. A bit of a surprise. I was playing a few tunes downstairs with my friend Lisa, and so I just know Paul obviously and a lot of people here. And maybe upon this topic for today, I was looking at the news this evening, watching it rather than I just saw John Hinckley is going to go to jail. And today. And
35 years.
Yeah, I did read, I was actually 1980, I think, wasn't it? I went to America in 81. But I wrote this poem 4 years ago. And I wrote this poem after the Columbine, at Newtown, where all the children were gunned down in Connecticut 4 years ago. And if you remember, it was during the last presidential race. And even though there was outrage, as we all know, Obama came on, he said the flags would fly at half masts, it's kind of standardizing. And actually sent this poem to Obama about 6 months ago, and he kindly sent me a lovely letter actually.
Wow.
Which was nice, but the only downside of it, I'm now on the White House junk mail list. I get 20 emails a day from him. But anyway, so this is in response to that, because if you know, if you've been following the election, I still live in America, I lived there 15 years, and all the rhetoric that we've had at the conventions, there's not been a word about the NRA from either side of my head, even for the Democrats. So it's just very, very telling. So here's a poem anyway, one poem, and we go softly into the night, as Dylan Thomas said. The flags will fly at half-mast. The flags will fly at half-mast, said Obama. How many more times will they fly this way? How many more people blown away? Yes, and how many times was the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? Dylan sang in 63. A mail order rifle rang in Dallas that same year. The flags flew half-mast. Brenda got a gun for Christmas. I don't like Monday, sang the other Bob. The flags flew at half-mast. Lennon sang, give peace a chance. He got no chance when Chapman opened fire on Dakota building the rates piled high. In the hometown of the king, another king gunned down. The Memphis song hung low like the White House flag. Bobby Kennedy, Columbine High, Virginia Tech, the list goes on. Now the race has come and gone. Most expensive ever, so they say. No one laid a glove on the NRA. Today's Newtown. Tomorrow, the flags will fly at half-mast.
All right.